This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mitch Tite.
And I'm Bonnie North. Before you went to bed on Wednesday night, you might have made sure the windows were closed and some of your sensitive electronics were unplugged. That's because until pretty late, the prevailing belief was that severe thunderstorms with high winds, frequent lightning, large hail, and heavy rain were due to roll in through the area.
But when you woke up on Thursday morning, the ground was dry and meteorologists were dissecting the storm that wasn't or wasn't here. Mike Westendorf is the operations manager for Innovative Weather at UW-Milwaukee, and he says Wednesday was emblematic of some of the challenges when it comes to predicting severe weather and sharing details with the public. Hi, Mike. Welcome back to the show.
It is great to be here.
We should start with first the point that you are not the National Weather Service. You do not issue the severe storm watches or warnings or advisories, but at the same time, you do have a relationship with them, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the National Weather Service, basically all of the weather information that we get as professionals, this is television, this is private sector, this is research community, all come from NCEP, the National Center for Environmental Prediction, of which the Weather Service is a part of that. It's one of the great things about this country that we have the kind of radar data that we have, the numerical model information, the research that's been done. This is been the foresight of people, you know, decades earlier who have really made the investment in this. So the National Weather Service, they like to call it the weather enterprise, of which they are a part of it. We are as well. And the Weather Service's job ultimately is pretty simple, to protect lives and property and to advance that ability through the research that they do. We then, in the private sector, television, other places, we then are partners in communicating that information. Now, we may differ in our opinions. Our audiences are different, so our styles of communication are going to be different. But when it really comes down to it, the National Weather Service is where the models get kicked off. And when it comes to the warnings, as you mentioned, you've got an entity called the Storm Prediction Center that really is the one looking at the nation and issues a general risk for the nation, and then the local offices are then a part of doing the warning pieces of things because they live locally or at least much closer to the action. Once they issue a warning or a watch for that matter, all of the private sector partners, if you will, start communicating that out to our audiences. Since we were built for better interaction with the public, National Weather Service was really better equipped for being the deep science, if you will, behind what we do.
Well, and so let me ask you a question about where those two things meet, because the Storm Prediction Center will issue a report on the risk for severe weather in a given place in a given day. And there's a scale of, I think, 1 to 5 being starting from just sort of generalized thunderstorm activity to high risk for severe thunderstorms. We'll see a report that the Prediction Center makes that says, say, southern Wisconsin has a slight risk for severe weather today. And at the same time, we'll see headlines that say severe thunderstorms are likely or are expected in southern Wisconsin. How does slight on one end go to likely on the other?
That's media and the need to grab attention, of which we're part of that a little bit. And, you know, we talk about this quite a bit here. I remember somebody accused us of being the no-hype weather, and we thought we should, like, make that into a slogan because more people might actually listen to us. You know, the Storm Prediction Center, and this product that they put out, like I said, it's a national categorical outlook. It's not a forecast. It's an outlook. It's trying to outline the areas that have the most likely chance for thunderstorms that will meet the Weather Service's criteria, by the way. It's 58 miles an hour or 1-inch size hail or larger, or tornadoes. That's basically what they're looking for. So the SPC does a categorical outlook, and that's really for the professional community. However, the internet loves that stuff. Television loves that stuff. And they use that to kind of show, hey, we've got a slight risk of storms. The issue is that it needs to be interpreted and communicated on the local level. So when people are just looking for information to grab a headline, that headline becomes slight risk to, hey, you really need to pay attention because it's likely. And again, we're like, well, what does that even mean? We're talking about weather service level warnings that we're actually talking about, not just general thunderstorms per se. So that's kind of how it gets translated that way a little bit. Just keep in mind, if you see an SPC product that really is meant for professionals, it needs interpretation.
Well, and this also seems to get to the idea of there being a difference between risk assessment and just a straight off weather forecast.
That, you know, you're touching on a big topic for me. So we could talk about this one as long as you want.
Well, in a nutshell, I mean, when it comes to someone who's listening to a weather forecast, what should they look at as a forecast, and how should they read into something in terms of risk assessment?
Yeah, so I'll do this the way that I do with our students. For a lot of them, they're coming in and they're learning how the atmosphere works, and they're learning how to make a forecast. So you evaluate current conditions, you evaluate numerical models, and then you make your forecast for a variable, a high temperature, a wind direction, a cloud cover. That to me is forecasting, if you will. And so all of the general type of stuff, you know, we've got partly cloudy skies and a high temperature of 80 degrees with northwest winds at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Those are variables that we are good at forecasting. The issue is we need to go from information that is, that's interesting, to, hey, we need you to be aware of something that could impact you in a negative way, and that's a risk. So risk assessment, when you're talking about it in the future, demands that we communicate possibility and probability. If you only list the probable, it's kind of like a home run hitter, you know? Aaron Judge, I don't know what his strikeout rate, but, you know, the guy for the Yankees.
Right.
You know, he's hitting home runs and everybody's talking about it, but nobody talks about the strikeouts. I remember when we had Prince Fielder, you know, and he's socking home runs and everybody loves to talk about that, but at least 2-1, you know, he's striking out more than he is hitting home runs. And in our short attention span culture that we have we're packing so much information, even in media settings, or Twitter, you know, hey, you got 140 characters to tell about a forecast. I can only tell you about the probable outcome. And the problem with that is that when we're talking about the future, especially this time of year as a forecaster, there are a lot of different possibilities for our area. And sometimes there isn't a real probable outcome. I'll use Wednesday night as an example of that. All the heat and humidity, thunderstorms, and the models are showing widespread thunderstorm activity. We had been hit by very heavy rain earlier in the morning. But the system coming back in behind it was pretty weak, not very well organized, and so the storms didn't initiate. So what do I have to tell people? We've got a very unstable, well-sheared environment, which means severe storms are possible if they can get going. And that's a pretty big if this time of year. Therefore, I need people to understand that there's a chance for thunderstorms. If they develop, there will be a severe weather risk. But then I don't have time to tell you, we might not see anything. And so sometimes people can start thinking, well, you're just covering your butt. That's not actually what's happening. We're trying to help you understand both the possibility and the probability within a very small window of time. And that becomes the challenge.
Well, and at a certain point, it becomes incumbent on the listener or the viewer or the reader to do with this information as they think is appropriate for them.
You know, I always like to say for us, even, you know, when we're working with our partners, you know, we don't make a decision for We Energies or Lake Express or the Brewers. We don't make those decisions. We are here to give advice and counsel based on the risks that we have. I view it the same way for our listening audience. I'm here to help you make wise decisions when it comes to your safety. And to the best of our abilities, we're going to be doing that. And in order to do that well, you have to allow me to be able to talk about possibility and probability. But we are looking not only and considering you in your backyard, but 600,000 of you in your backyard. From basically the Illinois border all the way up to Fond du Lac, we're trying to tell a story to you personally while asking you to think regionally.
Mike Westendorf is operations manager for UW-Milwaukee's Innovative Weather, and he's an occasional Lake Effect contributor. You can read the latest weather outlook at WUWM.com.